intellectual decay. Turn it off and watch a brain. Hey.
Welcome to another mini-sode of Bite-Sized Satan. What we lack in girth and length, we make up by being very satisfying, like a tiny little mini-sized Snickies. My favorite.
Bite-sized.
Number one, say you love Satan candy.
Wrong.
We'll talk about it.
Disagree.
We'll talk about it. We're going to be talking about, which everybody's been talking about on the social medias. Everybody's getting all mad about it and stuff, me included. We're going to talk about Halloween kills, or as Donald Sutherland coined it, Halloween no frills, which I thought was the best. And I got it tattooed that very same day.
Yeah, right on your butt cheek.
And we're going to do this one a little different than what we usually do. And but I'll have Steph give us some info on this movie first, as if people don't already know everything about it, because people who have seen this movie are just the most hard-on horror fanatics ever.
Yeah.
They know all the details about
the
franchise that are known as Halloween. Well, Ben's probably the most learned of the Halloween franchise among us.
It's not me. That's for sure.
He has watched them all. He gets blood pumping in his...
What are you, a glutton for punishment?
I am. I, too, have seen them.
But for the people who are not as learned, maybe give a little details about this one.
Let me introduce you to this movie. Okay, so I just want to say that this is a description on IMDb. The saga of Michael Myers and Laurie Strode continues in the next thrilling chapter of the Halloween series. False. I mean the thrilling part.
But does evil die tonight?
Okay, well that's one of the taglines. Directed by David Gordon Green, and he directed The Halloween from 2018, a very enjoyable movie.
He looks like David Lynch's son visually.
Wow, it's me.
I wish they would give the reins to him. He would make at least
Holy shit. He was going to do Return of the Jedi at one point. Imagine what that shit would have been like.
I was telling Steph that I wish they would have done a Malignant with this movie and had Michael. They kill Michael, but then Michael comes back out of Donald Pleasance, the back of his head.
Yeah. Oh my God. Holy shit.
And has him start killing.
Yeah. Oh, no, you Malik didn't.
Starring Jamie Lee Curtis, Judy Greer, who plays her daughter, Andy Matichak. I guess that's
Matichak.
Nick Castle, Jim Cummings, which I was excited to see.
Can we just say, I looked into the Nick Castle thing. You know what he did the breathing.
Oh.
That's what he did.
Well, he's kind of old.
That's all I can do.
He can't do any of the physical stuff.
Yeah, he's got fucking...
When is there breathing?
The Michael breathing he did. It's because he has COPD. It sounds like he's got ricots in his lungs. So it was
I don't remember hearing him breathe once.
I looked it up, dude, because I thought it would have been cool if they had him play the 1978 Michael.
Yeah.
But it wasn't him. It was a different guy.
He's too old. He can't be doing all the fight scenes.
No, I get it, but...
And all the walking.
Breathing.
I mean, there's a lot of walking.
But no going up and down steps. Can't see that. Nope. He just appears on the other landing.
No, he glides down. Like Michael Myers, when he goes down steps, he lays on his belly and he goes down the steps. They don't want to show that, though, because it takes away the tension.
So, I mean, like I said, Jim Cummings, which we were happy to see. Jim Cummings from...
Wolf of Snow Hollow.
Yeah, which was great.
The younger sheriff.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a 10 when I saw him, and I was let down.
Mm-hmm. Robert Longstreet, who was in Midnight Mass, and we were excited to see him in it.
I do like him.
Yeah, he was really great.
He was awesome as Joe.
And Michael McDonald as Lil Jon.
Yeah.
Because we know him from... Look what I can do.
Oh, yeah.
Stewart.
Yep.
Let me do it.
Oh, my God. And then the last person I want to mention is Anthony Michael Hall, because he is a meathead in this movie.
He's like a sentient onion in this movie.
I was looking at him the whole time, he looks so familiar. Uh-huh. And then finally I was like, no. Might as well have had McDreamy do it. Fuck off.
He looks like he's been since, what is it? What is the movie called? Fried Green Candles or something that he's in? 16 Candles?
16 Candles,
Breakfast Club. He's,
16 Fried Green Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I gotta eat all of them!
Fried Green Breakfast Club.
You know I love them fried green tomatoes, uh-huh.
What?
And then I just wanted to mention a couple taglines. Like you said, evil dies tonight.
One more time.
You can't kill the boogeyman. more of the evil, and the night evil came home 40 years later, which is the lamest.
More of the evil what? That dies tonight.
And let it burn! And that's it.
Let it burn!
Thank you, Melissa.
That would have been a cool twist in the movie. At some point. All right, so let's just go around, and I just want to get an initial thoughts, no spoilers, and without going into too much detail, and we'll start with you, Steph. Okay. What did you...
Am I given like a numerical rating or just...
Did I not like it? Overall thoughts of it. You can
say... And I'm just going to be... Listen, I'm going to be so honest about this. This is for coming straight from my heart. I fucking hated every goddamn second of this movie.
Did you really?
I was so angry. I thought it started... Okay, there was like a moment in the beginning where I was like, okay, this is cool.
So you didn't hate every second then?
But then I did.
Just like,
so
like
98%.
Evil dies tonight? No, it didn't. Steph hates every second of this movie? No, she doesn't.
98% of it, I hate it. I was getting angry. I mean, I kept looking over at Jesse and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we'll get into reasons for that. Yeah. Melissa.
But that's it.
Melissa, you're always like, you're always just like in the middle of the road. Can you just give a fucking opinion for once and be fucking horny about it?
No, this is against my will. Okay.
I don't think I hated it as much as everybody else did. Like, once you realize it's a middle movie, you're kind of
talk about that.
Okay, like I see what they did, but there's a lot of unnecessary shit. There's not enough kills. Like it is a very weak installment to the Halloween reboot. It's still not as bad as the Rob Zombie shit, but it is, you know, not the strongest showing for Halloween. And I have a lot of love for the Halloweens.
Franchisey, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The franchise. Benny.
I was really drunk when I watched this.
That's no excuse. So, no excuse.
You're always drunk, Ben. How is this different? Please explain.
Excelsior. But I didn't hate it. It's not good. It's not a good movie, objectively. I'm going to follow Jesse's format, but I'll rant a little bit about it later. All right, John.
Yeah, I would say I'm tepid on it. It's like I see the, you know, the people who say, oh, Michael's got the brutal kills. And like, yeah, I mean, like 98% of this movie is Michael killing people with no, I don't know. There's no stakes. There's no stakes involved for 98% of the movie. And I think after you realize that, like Melissa said, it's a middle movie and it's like the middle arc, then it just falls completely flat because it really doesn't accomplish anything. And I actually kind of like, basically dovetails back into itself that basically ends up saying nothing at the end.
Yep.
And
yeah, it seems like, I mean, we haven't seen the third movie yet, but when we see that, we'll be able to gauge, should it have just been two movies?
Right.
I look at it this way. Like,
it should have been two.
I love fucking Empire Strikes Back. It tells its own story. It completes the arc while also saying something and like leaving people hanging, but also giving you that pause for more. And it stands alone by itself. You don't have to watch it, you know, in sequence, but like you can still do a middle story and tell something and not have to fucking like just collapse it on its own weight, which is exactly what fucking happens.
I mean, it would have been cool if like when Michael's costume got all burned up in the fire, he ended up cutting open one of them camel white things and then wearing that as his Michael Myers suit for this movie, like Star Wars.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The camel like things.
Yeah. What are those things?
Tauntauns?
Tauntaun camel.
I went like for a second. I was like trying to process that. Did
readily
you say
available.
I like to call them the winter camels. The Star Wars winter camel.
Yeah.
For me, yeah. I mean, you guys know me. I'm not the kind of person that's going to talk badly about someone who disliked a movie that I liked. But I think for the majority of people, their parents would have been well advised to beat them more when they were children. the people that are like, I mean, and that's not Ben. Ben's like being like realistic with his, you know, Ben's not trying to beat us over the head with the fact that he like didn't hate it. But there's people over there that want to beat you over the head with like, this movie was great. And if you don't agree, you're an idiot for X, Y, and Z. Right. That's really fucking stupid.
I didn't hate it either. I just feel like it's not remarkable in any sense. And if you're talking in the context of like,
let's just
how much I like 2018.
Yeah.
It doesn't build on that foundation.
Let's just put it this way then. This movie didn't do anything to make me enjoy it, is what I'll say. Mm-hmm. And because it didn't do anything to make me enjoy it, I fucking hated it.
That's fair.
And I feel like most of the time, it almost went out of its way to frustrate the shit out of me so bad.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, I fucking hate this movie so much, you know? And I agree with you guys. Like, I don't think it's not the worst Halloween movie, but that's setting the bar so low even when you say that, because...
Well, the fact that you have to say about any movie, it's not the worst. That's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah.
And like, what's the worst? You walked out of the theater halfway through?
Yeah.
You demanded a refund?
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm only a fan. Halloween for me isn't like my most favorite like slasher franchise. Like Melissa said, like I like them all, and like I do like them all, but the ones I like, and the rest I don't ever have any interest in rewatching again. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I'm a huge fan of Part 3, but that's not even really in like the canon. So like, I only really like the first movie. Like that is it, mm-hmm. and it has. And me and Steph just rewatched. Did we rewatch the first one? Oh no, we watched the movies that made us.
Yeah, the movies that made us.
And they bring up a lot of the points that like make that movie like so successful in a lot of the ways. And this movie just fell fucking completely flat for me, and I did really, really, really disliked it. So I guess I'll just go in and start talking about like why I didn't like it. A lot of it comes down to me, like there's too many characters in this movie, and you spent the majority of the first movie, and I get it. I hear people saying like, you don't need to do that again because they established the characters in the first movie. Okay, that doesn't mean you get to just abandon the characters because you introduced them in the first movie. It doesn't make any sense, right. You know? A lot of the main characters from the first movie, particularly Jamie Lee Curtis, spends all her time in the hospital. So in a sense, it's like your main characters in this movie for me end up being Michael Myers is the main character.
Yeah. It has to be. I mean, at this point.
And I guess like the second person has most screen time is the Michael Anthony Hall due to a certain extent.
And Laurie Strode's daughter, I'd say. Right. Because she's also like
a big character. But even then, I'd say she's like pretty sidelined for the most part.
It's, I mean, it's almost like repeating the same mistakes of Halloween 2 when we covered it, where like Laurie Strode is really in it. She's like comatose for 98% of the movie. And it's just Michael ripping through people you don't fucking care about
until
the very end, and there's a climax. Yeah.
There's Why did they put her in a fucking hospital again?
There's like, so many characters. There's so many characters. Like, it's just like John said, you don't care about any of them. And when people keep getting consistently killed, they're characters you were just introduced to in the movie, and they kill them. And I was like, granted, these kills are cool. I won't take that away from them. It was brutal and great, but I don't give a fuck. Like, you don't have to have weight to every character you kill, but when it becomes this thing where he's just killing randos, I don't give a fuck.
They also spend, and I enjoy the scenes, but they spend a considerable amount of time retconning Hawkins' character and basically fleshing him out more.
So weird.
To not use him at all. Basically,
is that the dude in the hospital with
him and Jamie are giving each other hand jobs.
Yeah, they're basically.
Was he in the original one or no?
Yes,
he was.
Yeah, he was. He was the guy at the very end who was with the doctor, Michael's doctor, and then you get that twist at the end of 2018 where like the doctor was orchestrating everything.
Right.
No, but
and
I mean, then he wasn't in the OG Halloween.
No,
right?
No, okay, not as far as I know. That's a Ben question.
That's no, but Sheriff Brackett, who I guess works at the hospital.
Yeah, oh my god,
that's another thing.
Perhaps
too.
Not aged. We is the monsters.
So, let's talk about the characters that they do establish very poorly, I might add, and most of that establishment is done in that very shitty fucking bar scene in the beginning, where they're like, "Let's info dump all these characters on you." And let's have somebody tell a story in front of these people so you can hear it, so you know his history. That is the worst
fucking
way to do any kind of writing whatsoever. And Michael Anthony Hall is basically playing this Alex Jones dude who definitely has truck nuts hanging from his truck. And he rants stupid shit all the time. He says, "Evil dies tonight a thousand times," and he... What else? Oh, he says that Apex Predator line. Yeah. And when that what other movie did they say that in? Wasn't that fucking Crawl movie with the alligators?
Yes, it was.
The dad says,
"Yes, you're an Apex Predator.
You're an Apex Predator." I was like,
"Swim."
It sucked in that movie, and it sucks again.
Yeah.
They're also...
For me, that was the one part that I thought... that's why I was like, oh, this could be cool that they're introducing all these previous survivors.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with that?
Nothing.
And that's when I got... I was done.
Why are they friends? Like, why are these three people... like? Granted, all of them encountered Michael Myers.
They all got kid touched by Michael.
Their dynamics are so disparate. The nurse who was with Dr. Loomis, she's like, "What's up, homie?"
She was already in Halloween H2O. Fucking bring her back.
It's so stupid when they're all, not only are they, you know, it would be more believable if they were in the bar seated at different areas with their own circle of friends, but the fact that they're all seated next to each other.
This is for Loomis. Oh no, I had a bullet.
It's a talent show night. It's not a Michael Myers survivor conference. Right. So like it makes no
Everyone
sense.
Everyone should have groaned because they come every Halloween and he's like 40 years ago. Yeah. And everyone's like, "Whoa, not this again."
Well, then they also have this thing where, you know, this whole town is aware of Michael Myers, but why is everybody so again and again shocked to find out that Michael is heading home every single fucking time? They send a mob out to look for him, send him to the fucking house he grew up in.
Yeah,
chances are he's gonna fucking show up there. Right
right? Because they even have this backstory where he loves standing at his sister's window and watching the leaves fall and such.
But he was just looking at his own reflection, guys.
No, Michael Myers is basically like E.T. He wants to go home.
Right.
Leave that motherfucker a trail of Reese's Pieces. He's going to be like, yum, 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 yum. And you fucking shoot him in the head and throw him in the creek.
His house is amazing now, though. I would live there.
Oh, hell.
Johns did the best job ever.
That's what I said. I was like, the fucking colors in this house.
The green on the walls.
Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
But for me, it's like, I don't want to see Michael Myers' house looking renovated.
Right.
Like,
no.
What you should have did was maybe like had Michael Myers' house demolished and they put a Chick-fil-A there. Yeah. And Michael Myers was so fucking pissed off because he's like, what the fuck?
He shows up, he just does the head tilt thing. Yeah. A single tear comes out of the house.
Stabbing all these employees and they're like, my pleasure!
My pleasure!
Michael likes to stand at the drive-thru window at Chick-fil-A. Everybody knows that.
So there is a lot legitimately to dislike about this movie. So really quick, there are a couple things that I did like. I think Michael looks really cool.
Yes.
With the burnt mask, like it came out of hell. I thought the kills were good. Kills do not make a film, but I thought some of them were like really brutal, like the light fixture neck thing. And the soundtrack by Carpenter is really good. I was listening to it.
That's my problem. I mean, I agree with you. I think the soundtrack is good, but it almost feels like to me it's one of those things where in the first movie there was these great scenes where like they would build up with John Carpenter's soundtrack, like, and it would add to like, it would like the music should be determining how you feel in a certain scene. Mm-hmm. And the first movie, 2018, was really good with that. There was like, you know, the part where the kid got like impaled like in the fence.
That's the best scene where they cue in that.
Exactly. And there's none of that in this movie. No. So they just kind of like, it feels to me like a cut and paste
removed
job.
Yeah, removed from the pace of the film. It's like a really cool soundtrack to listen to.
Yeah.
Look, there's like a joke that like Red Letter Media made where they were like making fun of George Lucas, and they was like, there's ways to make a movie and there's a structure to a movie that you make unless you are. And then like the joke is they do like John Waters, Sam Peckinpah, David Lynch, Wes Anderson, like they name like 30 like directors. So if you're a competent director, you can shift from the standard. But watching this movie, I felt a similar thing that I felt watching The Last Jedi, where I was like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to feel tonally here. Mm-hmm. Not a good way, like in a way that the structure of the film was bizarre.
I feel like they kept so what they did in the movie consistently for me was they kept backing themselves into corners they didn't really know how to get out of, and that really like came to an abrupt end with the ending for me, where they're like, how do we resolve this whole mob thing that we started, where there's 50 people around Michael Myers now beating the shit out of him? Where do we go from here? And there was no way you were going to make that situation play out in a successful way, because for me, Michael Myers is always way more threatening when it's like two or three people.
What a mistake. The notion of even introducing a mob that was going to come after him. I'm like, when I saw that in the preview, I was like, it's probably
it takes the whole like, you know, it takes the threat away, even though like Michael Myers ends up killing them all anyway. It takes that thing out for the viewer where like there's tension, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They needed to do something. Like I feel like they did a really good job of like world building Haddonfield itself and like showing these like almost like Silent Hill type, like the really the common alleyways that butt up against all the lots, and how quickly that you can basically, if you're one person, could get in between all the blocks and kind of escape. And it's really hard to like pin him down in an area, and you could have done something where he kind of thins the mob out and kills people in alleys and fucking does all these. Instead, they just shoehorn it into like this. They have him cornered immediately and they encircle him, and it's just so stupid.
Well, that's another thing. Like, the characters just consistently make dumb decisions, which I don't mind in a horror movie, but when it becomes a thing where everybody's death is perpetuated by a really fucking poor decision, then that enrages me to the point where I'm like, okay, it's a slasher movie, I get it. People die for stupid reasons in slasher movies all the time, but when you're trying to like instill this really stupid logic into people, that's what Steph was getting so pissed off about, because people would basically walk time and time again into the situation with Michael Myers by themselves or with another person where they knew Michael Myers is this unstoppable force, but let me just bring a 2x4.
You've come to the realization
an iron. Brought an iron.
Yeah. Well, like, no, especially with Laurie Strode's granddaughter, because she already, they fought him. They know. Yes. They know what he's capable of.
So,
and for her to, the whole scene with her boyfriend,
I don't understand. Like, you were like, oh yeah, this whole, well, here, it's not even like, if it would be juxtaposed in a different slasher movie where it's a small group of friends that get killed off one by one, it's a different story and it's easier to mitigate. But when you have this other counter narrative of like, we're gonna move in groups, and it's going to be the group that takes Michael down. Mm-hmm. This is a whole town issue. And then it's frequently people going, no, I'm going to go in by myself.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go in by myself. I'm going to go check this out by myself.
You're forgetting the best part, though, where they spend 45 minutes chasing a mental patient around.
Oh, I
want
to talk about this.
Oh, yeah. I was going to get to that too, Melissa, believe me.
I know Jesse hates this comparison, and he was like, oh, people are referring to it as being like a throwback slasher. I don't think this is a good compliment to make, but the notion of them like having a mental patient that they chase down and then kills himself feels like an 80s slasher move in like not a good way.
Yeah.
I actually found it distasteful.
Yeah, me too.
You can't, all right.
It adds nothing to the structure of the movie.
Also, you have a scene. All right, you want to have a scene where, like, is man the real monster? And then you have Sheriff Becker be like, is me real monster?
Yeah, exactly.
You can do that. But you cannot have a scene where a mental patient, this is, like, the most soy boy, like, hippie shit I'm ever going to say. You can't have the scene where the mental patient eats shit and then you show his macerated body.
But you are indeed a soy boy, so it's okay.
Yeah. No, and I was actually going to
smell your soy farts.
I feel like we all pretty much feel the same about that scene. One, unnecessary, didn't add anything to the story.
Yeah.
And, like, also, I'm okay with being uncomfortable with my feelings in movies. And sometimes, that's like a good movie, right? Like, a good story, good storytelling. I was disgusted with this, and not in a good way.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, why is it happening?
I figured this would bother you, Steph.
I like the daughter protecting him. I'm not going to let them get you.
Yeah, it was so stupid.
It's Danny DeVito! It's Michael Myers!
But also the stupidity that, like, anybody thought that was Michael Myers in the first place. And
they show the picture of the two, don't they?
And did they forget about Michael, or didn't they? Because 2018, this is a completely tonal whiplash of a film. In 2018, which, again, this film reveals how much people hated 2018, I guess, so much.
But
how?
Oh, God. I don't know.
I don't understand this at all, dude.
But nobody... First of all, it's established that a lot of people in Haddonfield are like, yeah, it's something that happened. There's literally like her friend with the stupid hat is like, yeah, it's just a bunch of babysitters got killed, whatever. There's all this stuff going on. Are they over it? Or is someone never over it and the whole town knows about it? It's one or the other. And then it's just, it's a huge departure to the point where when I was watching it, I couldn't help but be like, is this a fuck you? Like, is this movie a giant fuck you?
Well, then you hear people say, like, you know, it's a middle movie, so it's fine. But, like, imagine... Okay, so picture the two towers. Imagine in the two towers, Frodo was just eating second breakfast for 2.5 hours.
I would watch that, though.
Yeah, but it's also, like, they try to poorly set up the fact that, like, okay, Michael's... Like, all of the events of the previous movie, nobody knew what was really going on until, like, that night, somehow. Even though there's all these shenanigans going on. And then... You know, they're in a rage basically because I forget how many, like 12 or 13 first responders are killed on the property and the news is reporting it. And that's what drives everybody to whip into a frenzy.
And the guy with the 10-gallon hat, I forgot
but
about.
I thought that they were like initially watching it, like figuring how I would have structured the movie if they were going to do this whole mob scene with the inmate coming in and like all this mass hysteria and confusion. I thought this would be the opportunity for Michael to slip into the fucking hospital and start wrecking shit. And then in the confusion of all that, think of all the stabbing he could do.
Right. Because Michael Myers...
think of all the stabbing
like
I could
the
do.
Fucking Suicide Squad where they're just going through stabbing people.
What if we at one point it's just like an internal monologue. Like he stops in front of the hospital and you just hear, think of all the stabbing I could do.
Well, think about, like, you know, the reason why Michael Myers has been effective, like, in other movies is because he is, like, the plain, like, hide-in-plain-sight killer.
Yeah.
Where, like, he's not ever being stealthy. He just happens to be stealthy, like, just wandering around.
Because he's just walking.
But you take that away with the mob when you're, like, having, like, him confront 10 people at the same time.
Someone did finally hide successfully from him, though. So I was like, yes, good for you.
By, like, the creek?
Yeah.
Why?
She watched him. I don't know. How did she survive this?
That scene is also done poorly because he's like, the first time you see him, he's like looking around. Then he walks across the footbridge and presumably away from her.
Yeah.
And then when the other group shows up, you want to somehow believe that he went back across the footbridge and posed all these bodies on the merry-go-round and then left again.
But, I mean, he does do that in the first movie because remember the scene with, like, which I thought was one of the cool scenes in the 2018 one where he carves the fucking head to a jack-o'-lantern. So he is about, like,
I forgot about that.
He loves his arts and crafts.
But apparently all those arts and craft time... it like exists outside the timeline of the actual film that you're watching. What, like, he's doing all these things somehow.
What about the practical effects and things like this? And I don't understand. Okay, I definitely thought Loomis was CGI, and I don't think them pointing out that it wasn't CGI actually made the experience better for me.
I think the flashback scene was one of the more effective scenes in the entire movie.
I love the way Michael looked in it. Like, they really nailed
it. And the firefight. The openings. Yeah. So for me, the opening scene with the firefighters and the fucking shot of him standing there at the fire, a 10. The fucking flashback scene was corny, but it was a 10 because I got horny as shit seeing Loomis. And, you know, hearing Loomis's voice, but then it just really just fucking just took a nose dive. What were you going
to
say earlier?
Oh, I just wanted to, because I wanted to also mention, Melissa, did you have anything to add about the mob scene? Because I know you felt pretty strongly about it, too.
I mean, it was... I felt strongly about him going to random gas stations telling people, come on! Yeah. We're going to go kill Michael! Because it felt very Beauty and the Beast Gaston going out and, like, kill the Beast.
It is 2021, so, like, you know, whether or not you think, like, there's political, you know, themes in this movie or not, they're going to be inferred whether it was intentional or not. Like, let's be honest. And then once you have Lori shout to the mob in the fucking hospital and call them sheep, I think you're kind of...
Oh, I missed that.
You're kind of fucking solidifying that to me. Like, that you want to make a political statement, which is fine. I don't mind that. I don't care. I'm not mad because they're trying to... But it just doesn't work.
But you have to execute it.
Right. Well, I mean, she's totally all over the place, too, because she's like, you know, where were these people when I was fucking crusading and I was ostracized for basically being how these fucking people are right very now? Because her whole... The whole arc that she had in the 2018 one, which I loved, which basically, like, her with PTSD and, like, being ostracized by her own family and being, like, the kook. And, like, it turns out that all her fears and everything were validated by the end of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
And yet, still, she's not fucking listened to.
Yeah.
So, all right, the other thing I wanted to, was talking about the whole mob thing. So, going to the end where the mob is attacking him, you should have felt... something. You should have felt good about that, right? Like, oh, this mob is potentially going to defeat this horrible killer. I didn't have good feelings about that either. It wasn't satisfying. You can't have good feelings because
again, it's Michael. There's a no-win situation.
He's unstoppable.
Right? Because it's dumb people doing dumb mob shit, but then they're trying to do the dumb mob shit to kill Michael Myers, so you're not rooting for anybody. You're just watching.
Yeah. Give him his super
no,
powers.
But it's like
because they make it seem like
a part of him. Yeah. It's like something that draws him. Because in the first movie,
it's like a security blanket.
They bring it out, and you know,
but like they were beating him, and then the second he put that mask back on, it doesn't matter.
It's just cool for him to put the mask on.
Well, they're trying to exist in this realm where they want to discount all the movies, but then also incorporate the lore from the discounted movies into the movie. Don't do that.
And just there.
Like, the director explicitly said in that interview that, like, no, he's not supernatural. And the people that think that it's the Cult of Thorn or whatever, or the Mark of Thorn.
It's supposed to be the way he describes it is it's supposed to be like Michael's influence over this town. And basically they are thinking he's supernatural. But again, that you can say that, but then people can watch this movie and what you're showing them and telling them is way inferring that he is supernatural. Right. Yeah.
At the very least.
So you don't know what the fuck you're doing as a director. Yeah.
Did he get shot and stabbed at the end of this movie?
He doesn't have to be a ghost that can move like a table or a chair, but when he has power over people, that's something literally supernatural.
Yeah. It's comical because he comes to the point where like Michael's not only like invulnerable, he is just immune to death in general because they do this opposite Final Destination bullshit where people again and again are trying to kill Michael Myers, but in the process of trying to kill him, they kill themselves. And I'm like, is this like, does he have like this? There has to be some kind of supernatural, like, you know, going on about this to have it be so consistent throughout the movie. How many times is someone going to shoot him and it's click, click, click?
Well, right, that's the whole stealth mechanic of him. Like, really, he's just able to somehow divert attention or just be in the right place in somebody's blind spot.
How did he get back to his house?
He walked
to kill to kill fucking Judy or whatever fucking
Judy Greer.
Is.
That's her name.
How?
I mean, after
from the mob to right there, wait, past all these EMTs.
Does he have teleportation?
That's what it was like. He fucking teleported. So,
well, I mean, the editing in this is like all over the fucking place.
The editing is ridiculous. So there's a shot in Halloween 6 where it's Loomis and Paul Rudd. Because he plays Tommy Doyle, Paul Rudd in the original. I guess they wanted to try and get him to be Paul Rudd.
He was busy with Ghostbusters.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so there's
the director said he wanted to have him in the movie, but then they decided it would be too distracting.
Yeah.
they had
he doesn't
to have Paul
he
Rudd in
doesn't
there.
Eat!
where him and Loomis are like in the house and whatever. I'm going to skip all the plot bullshit, but basically you find out that everyone in Haddonfield is part of the Cult of Thorn and the Cult of Thorn abducts a baby. Smash cut. It's Loomis and Paul Rudd standing on the lawn, and Paul Rudd's like, "I think we were drugged." And I was like, "What the fuck?" So this movie is egregious editing. And can I do my? I'm going to do a really nerdy thing. So I'm watching this movie, and I was thinking about all the components of it, and I was like, "I could probably do something a little better than this." You want to have all these original characters in it? Fine, right? Lori gets her shit pushed in. They take her to the hospital, right? And there, we find out that Lindsay works at the hospital, mm-hmm. right? She's a nurse. And the nurse lady from the first movie is in the hospital bed because she's old as shit, whatever. Yep.
How long is this going to take?
This is going to be real quick. Then we find out Tommy Doyle became like a crazy Blue Lives Matter cop who lives like a town over. He hears about stuff happening in Haddonfield. He's like a big dick boy who's like, "I'm going to drive down there and stop Michael." He drives down there. Meanwhile, Michael goes through. He kills a bunch of townies, blah, 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 blah. Tommy Doyle finally confronts Michael, loses his shit. He's unable to face him because fear is greater than everything else. And then we're thinking the whole time he's going to come after Lori. No, fake out. He kills Judy Greer, cuts her head off, and brings it into the hospital in like a pumpkin mask. And that's how it ends, with Lori like losing her shit, kind of like Loomis does in 4.
This is what I think.
No, Ben, this is what I think. Someone takes a dump in Michael's mask.
No. I really, really, really think this should have been the movie where Jamie Lee Curtis dies.
Yep.
And then they could have handed the torch to the daughter and the granddaughter in the third movie, and it could have been this resolution between mm-hmm. them and Michael Myers. Because otherwise, Jamie Lee Curtis serves no purpose whatsoever in this movie.
Yeah.
You know, she should have been fucking killed. Mm-hmm. Who was the fucking bartender that they kept focusing on that you couldn't understand what the fuck he was saying? It sounded like his tongues were tied in knots. Yeah.
Matthias Gumbo.
Who the fuck was he, dude?
I don't know.
It seemed like a picture of the guy that they kept showing. Did Michael kill him in like the first
one? No.
I'll get to that in a second. I got some trivs on that.
Like, is there some tie with that? And with the bat. The bat obviously had some history.
I got trivs on the pictures. Okay. Yeah, that dude. So another thing about The Evil Dies Tonight that's so fucking stupid is that's a callback to earlier in the movie, which nobody probably noticed, where that bartender has a jar on his fucking.
Yes.
It says, love lives tonight.
Oh.
And so that's supposed to be like the polar opposite. Okay. Like people are putting tips in it or something like that for him. Yeah. That was in the trivs, and I was just like, I didn't notice that either. But when I watched it the second time, I did.
And his bat, your Huckleberry.
It's the center frame for that.
Oh my god!
Wasn't that named the Huckleberry?
But yeah, my
yes, Dan, I believe it was called the Huckleberry.
My prediction. I think my prediction when we did Halloween 2 was that I said that this movie wasn't going to be great. My prediction is this third movie is going to be good.
No.
Because he's actually going to like do it like 2018 instead of doing it like Halloween.
I think he's going to backtrack.
I think he's going to be like, well, I now have something that I have to do.
First off.
Oh.
This is again the Star Wars sequel trilogy again, where like if you're going to do a three story arc and you're going to do three fucking movies and you're going to be the director attached to all of these, why wouldn't you already have this done? It shouldn't be. And I don't know for a fact if this is true or not, what you're saying, but it shouldn't be, I'm going to redact the fucking script to what the fan criticism is, and I'm going to go in here and alter this, and then I'm going to go into the third movie and adapt it and course correct from the second movie.
It worked for Sonic the Hedgehog. Why wouldn't it work for this?
No, but you're right. They should. The whole story should be already planned out.
Right. Yeah, because what did you do with Jamie Lee Curtis's entire fucking time? All right,
let's just pivot. I want to talk about, I mentioned it earlier. No, we'll get to that in a second, though. But, like, the thing that's most successful about the Halloween movie is the setup to the kills where, like, there's a lot of stalking going on. There's very little stalking. Mm-hmm. Most of the time in this movie when Michael just pretty much appears.
He's constantly
appearing in people. There's a scene with the drone where he just appears like in the person's laundry room. Uh-huh. And I was where did he come from? Even when he appears in Big John, Little John's house, he's just kind of like in there. There is like a small setup to where the kids come and play that joke.
That was my favorite part of the movie,
I saw people having a big problem with that comedy, but I liked the comedy bits in there that were good, you know?
They were the little kid in the first movie.
I think if you were going to have the dude who played Stuart... the
why didn't he do Stewart?
No, God damn it. If he was Little John, they should have had actual Mike Myers play Big John and have the callback of Mike Myers being it. That would have been the fucking best cameo of all fucking time, dude. Have him.
Like, I want them in every slasher movie, though. Like, I want Big John and Little John to be in like the inevitable Nightmare on Elm Street movie that they come out with, and they're like, I feel like we've been here before, and then they die again.
They were responsible for what little personality the movie had. But again, with the setups to the kills, like, I think in 2018, they did this really fucking cool thing where it was an over-the-shoulder thing of, like, Michael Myers basically walking, and he would be like, you know, there was, like, trick-or-treaters out or whatever, and he would basically walk into a house, and they would show you from the outside of the house, Michael walked to the back of the house, he would walk into the house, people inside the house are doing something, and you would see him appear, and he would start killing. That was so fucking cool. I really wanted more of that, and I thought that was going to start happening when there's a point in the movie where, is it Karen, Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter, who she unmasks him and kind of runs. And I was like, cool, maybe, like, and John mentioned that, like, they showed his face on the news. I get that, but, like, most people still wouldn't know who he was if he was just an old man walking around. He could have did some, like, stealth killing, but all that really leads up to is them trying to ambush him. And then Karen dies in the most poorly edited, like, and poorly executed way possible, but she ends up getting the upper hand on Michael for a second. And basically, like, kicks the back of his head. And I'm like, are you fucking shitting me? You just tried to burn this dude down in a fucking house where he was able to hide in a closet and not get burned by a 4-alarm fire that was probably 4,000 degrees. And he comes out of the fucking house that was burning in 4,000 degrees, and his fucking latex mask is just partially charred. Yeah.
I know smoke inhalation, by the way.
I wanted, I mean, she did stab him.
I wanted his fucking man. I wanted them to just go all out in this and make Michael look super fucking mangled, super fucking burned.
Mask melted into his face.
We brought that up before, I think, where, like, they should have treated him like Chucky.
Yeah, they'll never do that.
They should have, like... They totally mangled him up by
people
the end
are,
of the movie.
People are too obsessed with the original iconography. That's you why they're never gonna...
That. You could still have that and maybe have half the mask and have the other... Like, I understand they did burn half the mask, but it just wasn't... Like, come on, dude.
Like, down. I'm down for it. Like, I wanted to see, like, weird, like, fun. Horrible burns where, like, almost half his face, like, is a skull.
Think about the evolution of fucking Jason in the fucking franchise. Like, they definitely tried to give him a look in everything. Like, they were like...
There was continuity.
We'll give him the mask. The mask will change. His face underneath will change. Even his face underneath, he still looked like 70-year-old Phil Donahue, like, going fucking bald with, like, a fucking pink eye. It looked fucking stupid as shit. What else did I want to talk about? All right, so I did mention the flashback scenes. I like that. And the setups, and going back to the kills, with the setups with the kills, like, really the best you have is Michael Myers standing on a roof of a car, killing people.
Yeah.
Like, that is just...
That whole scene. There's a weird. Talk about editing. There's a scene where the woman in the nurse's outfit...
Shoots herself.
She falls she falls out of the car. She's right next to the car.
Yeah.
The next time you see her, she's on the opposite side of the car. Bizarre. Shooting from the far side of the car, which makes... No, also
halfway
2 minutes
down the block.
2 minutes from when she fell out of the car to when she actually responds, which makes no fucking sense.
One of the things that when I was watching this, and one of the things seeing, like, all of the social media response to it that I can't help but think about is this idea of people, like, if I don't know what the fans of these franchises want, and it doesn't matter to me, but people need to stop thinking that the next movie in the series is ever going to be like the first Halloween or the first Nightmare on Elm Street or even the first third Friday the 13th. You're not going to get that high again. And I feel like horror fans need to be a little bit more voracious about consuming new stuff by, like, new directors and giving them the opportunity to create, like, the next thing that you would like, you know, rather than putting all of your effort into, like, staunchly defending this type of movie, which...
But ultimately, this movie just feels unnecessary to me, in general. And, I mean, like, there was zero discussion by Dr. Loomis in the flashback of poop tracers, so... why wouldn't you mention that? Well, that's part of the canon, right?
And part of your point, Benny, like, the reason I like 2018 so much is it actually, like, fleshed out Laurie Strode and fleshed out these characters and, like, gave them humanizing backstories and a treatment that normally you wouldn't get for the most part in 80s slasher movies.
Right.
You know, the most of the people were there to be chewed up and be spit out again by the killer. And, like, maybe you had, like, what's her face from Nightmare? I'm blanking on Nancy Thomas. Maybe you get a character like that, that, like, transcends two or three movies and you're able to, like, flesh her backstory out and, like, tie some continuity to Freddy or another character. And they basically reverted all those characters in this film to tropes again.
Yep.
And basically gave them no agency, which is, like, stupid.
Yeah,
right?
It feels like a movie directed by the Wayans brothers, ultimately, to me, you know? And, well, like, I'll quote Jurassic Park and I'll say David Austin Green. What's his name?
Brian Austin Green.
Brian Austin Green.
Yeah. What's the director's name of this?
Oh my God.
Anthony Green.
David Gordon Green.
David Gordon Green. He spent
DGG.
He spent too much time wondering if he could. He didn't wonder. He didn't stop to think if he should.
Exactly.
Oh wow. Well. You know,
he just fucking.
Whoa, oh, damn.
Who says that? Is it
Jeff Goldblum's
character. Goldblum. He's Goldblum in it.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to go. Let's just talk about some fun stuff real quick. The kills I thought were awesome. You got the knife in the eye from the dude that was in the car. That was fucking brutal. That was awesome. The fluorescent light in the neck.
The lady shooting herself cracked me up. That, I'm not going to lie.
It's funny, but it's dumb, you know?
Yeah.
The scene where Michael just keeps putting knives in the dude's back after
he's making the wife watch.
He's so fucking pissed off because Laurie basically home aloned his ass in the first movie, and he's just like, I can't believe I fell for that fucking wet bandits bullshit. What else did I have here?
You liked watching the annoying boyfriend get murdered, right?
I feel like he should have gotten really
he
fucked
looks
up
like
more.
Keanu Reeves and Adam Driver's son. He's just very weird looking. But his death was very frustrating too, because like, again, they just walked into it, and then he's getting like his head. It's brutal.
She's just standing there, not doing anything.
And then she's like, "No, don't kill him." And he's like, "Michael's walking down the steps."
Oh,
really
I
slow.
Knew. I was
and
waiting.
Then Michael lays on his belly, and he goes down the steps. And she's like, "No, Michael, not on your belly."
What about the photos, Jesse?
Okay, so I looked this up in the trivs because I was like, maybe there's cool. God, there's already so much fucking trivia because nerds. Just like there's so much like nuance like to what he put in this movie from like callbacks, like such small things that like I'm like, you put all this like thought into these like callbacks, but yet your movie otherwise is just complete dog shit. Put your money where it matters, you know.
Exactly.
Take some time writing a good script without worrying about the fuck including all this random shit for nerds, which I think nerds get their vision clouded when they see stuff from other movies and they're like, it's great. Wow. it's great
That's part of that trailer too that they released. Yeah. Was like, we got to have the Halloween 3 masks in there. People have to see them.
That
in the
was
trailer.
Fine.
Yeah.
I love them in the first one, and then if they didn't have them in this one, it would be fine. That's fine. We got what we wanted.
David Austin Green. he mentioned when they were trying to find yearbook photos of one of the Michael Myers victims that they end up showing on the news from the 1978 film. He came across a yearbook photo of Bob Odenkirk that he thought resembled the original actor John Michael Graham. The rights issues were resolved so that Green could use Odenkirk's photo instead of the actual actor. Odenkirk is therefore credited as Bob in the credits.
That's funny.
And then this was another cool thing that I like, because I did like the flashbacks, and that was fucking cool. In the original 1978 film, while inside the Myers house, Brackett and Loomis discover a dog in the living room that has been partially eaten. While it's referred to, it is never shown. In this film, however, in the flashback scene, Hawkins and another deputy are standing in the living room, and for the first time, the dog's half-eaten carcass is revealed, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah. He got hungry.
Well, that's like fun. You
Not
know?
Today, Satan. Yeah. Those kids were good. Some of that, because those kids' dialogue was great as well.
Yeah, that was like, that was probably my favorite part.
But like, this movie should just be burned at the stake as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
I'm going to say it right now. I'll wrap it up and I'll say like, parents, beat your kids a little more. So then that way they appreciate, you know, they start to think more about movies and they don't just eat it up. They don't just consume media.
Or don't set the bar so low that like brutal kills is the only thing that you came here to see.
Yeah, and don't let your kids watch Nightmare Before Christmas either. Because it's stupid.
It is not.
And it's satanic.
And like, don't perpetuate. Don't perpetuate like this Nightmare Before Christmas decorations and all that stuff. Just that movie doesn't exist, dear children. Never Ending Story all the ways. That's the best Christmas movie ever.
Christmas.
Yeah. You can watch it at Christmas.
Halloween.
Yeah.
I always, every holiday.
Falcor's kind of like a reindeer.
Yeah.
You know, he's very large and in charge.
Da, 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 da.
So until next episode, which we'll be dropping more minisodes this week because it's Halloween week, motherfuckers. We're going to be dropping another one on Midnight Mass, and we're going to be dropping one on Squid Game, and then we're going to be dropping Evil Dez main episode. So until next time, say
you
love
Satan!
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming. But more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.
Pure and bold and redeemer.